Hello, everyone. This is Sparkle On with Davey Jags. Sparkle is your happiness, passion, and self-worth. Everyone has a fiery light that makes them who they are. And today, I'm so excited to have an amazing woman, Allison Argerin. She's founder of a nonprofit that helps artists with financial assistance and growth and development of their artistic craft. And she is a mystic, medium, and intuitive guide. And today's is one of the most unique episodes that we've done on the show today. So Allison, I'm so grateful for you taking the time to be with us and share space with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. And yeah, forward facing. It's time to be ourselves, sparkle fully. So I'm happy that you've invited me. Thank you.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that I think I wanted to have you on is you have, you know, such an amazing energy and gift. And when I met you in a room full of other amazing women, I was just very drawn to you. But what was crazy is that you expressed that you're also a very introverted person, and you've been through so many, you know, amazing life experiences that you were actually kind of in the shadows for a while. And I resonated with that because I think for a lot of our listeners, this is about either discovering or reclaiming your sparkle, which sometimes only starts in the shadows. And I know I felt that way at some point in my life. We've all felt that way at some point of our lives. And that's kind of going to be a theme of this episode. But I really want to focus on your nonprofit for the beginning. So how did you end up coming to the conclusion to pursue helping artists hone their craft?
So that is a journey, but how do I even start? Well, back in 2018, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And when you get a diagnosis like that, you know, first of all, you're shocked, but it's like, okay, if this is it, what do I want to do with the life that I have left? The time frame. So what ended up happening for me is I started to take classes of all these things that I wanted to do as a girl that, you know, either I got away from or I thought wasn't available for me to pursue as a career because they weren't very practical. It was all very creative. So I went to school and I took ballet classes. I took sewing classes. You know, I did yoga, and I just was like, you know, if this is the time that I have, let me just go for everything that I've always wanted to do. And what happened, which is amazing, and I'm still here, is I got better slowly. And it, you know, it was really hard, super hard. But you wouldn't know it by looking at me because my hair didn't fall out, but I was going through really heavy duty treatment. I lost a lot of weight, about 30 pounds on this frame. So, you know, just really frail. But as I started to get better, it hit me inside my heart and my soul that there's so much to be said about that creative process that we all need to tap into in some way. So in 2020, early 2020, I started this nonprofit with the idea of being able to look for people like me, those that are in the shadow, because it's hard to put yourself out there, especially if you're an introvert. I mean, even with all this social media stuff, it's terrifying.
Right.
And, you know, for me, this is the first time I'm showing my face and really talking about what I do in a big way. Otherwise, I can hide behind all kinds of things and just do things low key for myself. So You know, as we know, in 2020, things happened, things locked down. So it kind of put a stop on what I was doing. But I ended up living in Mexico for about 8 months. And I was connected with all these really wonderful, creative people. And I was able to find others that were like me, just kind of like, you know, behind the scenes. And I really appreciated the work that they were doing creatively. And I'm like, you know what? Not everyone has a family that's going to support their art or have the financial means to do so. So it really reminded me of like, you know what? If I can do something to help someone achieve what their goal is and give them that stability so that they can create from that, that's all I ever wanted. And it's a way for me to give back because I've been given, you know, a second chance at life. I mean, really like 9 lives, but I, you know, I was like, yeah, this is how I can impact others who are in a similar situation as me. Maybe it's not affecting them in like a dire health way, but we all have these, you know, insecurities of, can I really be myself? Especially without anyone championing us. So I wanted to step in as that kind of person for people like me.
And your story is so powerful. And I do believe that there is a different kind of need for artists to be able to work on their craft without the pressure and burden of creating for a paycheck. It's how a lot of great art gets lost, but also there's the realistic nature of life, right? But what I find interesting too is the ways that even studies that are coming out, the ways in which our bodies do speak to us or start to break down when we're not working in alignment of our creativity. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is artists is maybe just someone behind an easel painting, like, and there are even stereotypes of like you have to be introverted to be an artist. But what I learned is an artist is whatever you define it to be, and creative play can look like so many different things. And I'm an extremely extroverted person, and I'm so grateful that you felt like you could come to this space and share your story. But there is a notion that I think, no matter if you're introverted or extroverted, there's something, whether it starts in rage or grief, that it does happen in this sort of shadow. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, or this episode is focused on kind of how light and darkness can exist in the same sky. They do exist in the same sky. But with your nonprofit, you are kind of creating that balance of financial stability, but a place where artists can grow, whether it's, you know, in their sadness and grief and absorbing that and putting it into a creative medium, and then maybe helping showcase them. So can you talk about why this is so important for the creative process, especially for young artists?
Can you say that one more time?
Can you talk about like why finding this balance is so important for artists and their growth and development, especially young artists?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, from the people that I go out and meet, there's like this internal angst of not knowing how to express themselves, what the pain is that they're drawing from, or the situation, or the grief, or the family upbringing, but there's this need to express it in some way, because if not, it stores up in our body and it creates anxiety, creates depression, creates this inability to function because we're not able to just get all of those feelings out. So, you know, even though my situation is my situation, what I realized is that the feelings underneath, it's pretty much the same across the board for anyone that's creative. It's like, I don't know what this is inside of me, but I need it to come out.
And it's a fiery light.
Exactly. And as we can express that, it gives others the opportunity to also express themselves, to be themselves, and to know that, hey, we all go through hard things. It's not about competitive trauma. It's about how do we heal those feelings underneath and realize that we all feel them and we all express them in different ways. So it's just creating that knowing and that safe space of like, hey, I know you've been through some stuff. So have I. This is how I have expressed myself. How do you express yourself?
Yeah. And then you've also shared with me before we met that you came from a really strict religious upbringing. And one of the things that you were suppressing was your curiosity and skill set for tarot reading. Can you describe what that feeling was like to suppress that craft?
Well, it wasn't good. I, you know, from a very young age, I've always dealt with anxiety and depression in some way. And it was because I could feel so much. And there were just things that I knew, things that I could sense that I couldn't make sense of. So growing up in a very religious household where anything like that is put in a category that's hurtful, judgmental in a way, and everyone has their own belief system, so I understand that, but I had to hide it pretty much until 2020 from my family.
So pretty recently.
So when it all came out to where I couldn't hide it anymore, I had, you know, a lot of sadness because I lost friends, I lost family, and I had to operate independently, knowing that, okay, if I'm going to step into this journey of really expressing who I am, I have to do it alone in a way without any support. And it's frightening, you know, to go out and do what you do with no one saying, hey, you can do this, especially when you want it to be your family and your friends. So it was this really low point for me where I had to decide, okay, I can't put the, you know, the rabbit back in the box. It has to be out now. And, you know, from there I thought, okay, this is the life that I want to live so that I'm not hiding anymore. And it's not causing this, you know, tension inside of me that affects our health.
Yeah.
And it affected mine in a big way. And I had a lot of grief from my childhood that I wasn't able to express properly when I lost my father at a young age. So it was just decades of energy that I needed to release. And you know, tapping into tarot was a way for me to do that. You know, see inside myself, like, okay, what is bothering me? How do I express that? So in 2020, I started a secret YouTube channel, and I would just read the energy that was coming out. No one knew about it, but slowly I had all these followers that were like, oh wait, I've been there too. I've felt that same way. So then I realized, wait, I'm not alone. There's a lot of people who've gone through similar experiences and similar feelings. And I realized, wait, we all have our own audience of people who understand us. It's not about fitting in with everyone. It's like we attract who gets us. And that's what's really cool, is that anyone that doesn't understand, anyone that wants to, you know, push back in a way, it's like, okay, you can go live your life, but my life is here. And it's beautiful because it just feels so good to be able to be yourself fully.
Yeah.
And it gives others the permission to do that as well.
Yeah.
So it's just like this breath out.
It's the notion of community follows.
Mm-hmm.
What was that moment where you were able to have the courage to make that decision to reveal to your family? What was it, a sequence of moments, or was there one initial spark?
Well, it wasn't by choice.
Okay.
Because I was trying to still hide it.
Gotcha.
As I was going through my cancer trials and tribulation, losing a bunch of weight, taking a bunch of medication, I had like this spiritual psychosis moment where I broke.
Gotcha.
And I happened to do it at my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't pretty. And I, you know, I did things that I wasn't proud of. And because of that, I needed to be hospitalized for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my family had said, okay, if you go to rehab, you're accepted back into the family, we can help you. So I'm like, okay, well, let me do that. And I realized it wasn't right for me, that there wasn't anything wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all of this suppression of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being really ill.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing led to another, and yeah, I really had to just be completely out there with my family and be like, okay, yeah, I've been doing this for a really long time, but you didn't know. And because of that, there were parameters set up by my family to where I had to be on the outside.
Yeah.
And that was really hard, but I wasn't happy being in the inside anyway.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to figure some things out on my own. So I took about 3 years and lived nomadically and traveled and realized, you know, how wonderful and vast the world is, with all these different kinds of people with so many interesting backgrounds. And I'm like, wait, I was living in this really small bubble, trying to fit into this really tight mold that was too small for me.
Yeah.
And then I broke out.
I think it's so interesting because when you were talking about when your family had, you were hospitalized and you realized that nothing was actually wrong with you, is like, we come from different backgrounds and different experiences. But it kind of took me back to this moment where I was also hospitalized, and probably because of severe anxiety and depression. And I mean, it was definitely because of those reasons. I don't know why I'm saying probably. But it's that it was this moment of feeling like everything was so dark that I could not even express what that was like. And it was definitely because of this harmful and emotionally toxic, abusive relationship, where it got to the point where I, no matter what I said, it didn't matter. Nothing was heard. And when your voice is suppressed so much, it takes you somewhere that's not pretty.
Mm-mm.
And I think there's this stigma, especially as we talk about the mental health crisis, that being hospitalized is like the end. It's like this terrible thing. But why these resources are so incredibly important is like, for some people, you know, the hospital can actually be a place where someone gets to have a breath and realize that their anxiety and their depression is completely valid. And for me, it was like actually getting away from the access of a drug.
Mm.
And the drug was that relationship, that contact. And like, you know, I don't think this is talked about much, but like when you are hospitalized for something like that, I don't know if this was your experience, but my experience was that they took away everything. They took away jewelry. They took away your computer, your phone. You're not allowed to have access, basically. I mean, it's not that far off from jail.
Oh, totally.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the purpose. But, you know, before that was very scary. And it was almost like, luckily at that time, like I had a nurse that she had seen the level of gone I was, where it was almost like she would advocate and fight with security, which is a whole nother issue of how people handle these things, but story for another day. That a patient like me needed a little bit of access to the phone, because just like when you're going through any sort of withdrawal, you have to have that balance before someone really just feels like they're quite losing it. And obviously there was people in the hospital that were really struggling way more than me. But why I share it is because it was almost like these clouds cleared and I was able to understand that part of my frenzy was that I wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
I was just in a very unhealthy environment and I wasn't able to authentically be myself with someone that was supposed to love me. And that wasn't a family member, so I can't imagine what you were feeling. But what I think is so powerful about your journey is that we kind of hold, and you hold this superpower that you needed all along. And so today we're actually going to like do a whole tarot reading. I was wondering if you could share more about like how people can use tarot in their daily practice and kind of the history of tarot and how you came to find it.
Okay, so where do I start? I'll just use myself as an example.
Yeah.
So I had a mentor for almost a decade who introduced it to me as a tool, and that's basically how he presented it. He's like, it's a tool to get to know you. So with the tarot, there is a sequence of cards and they all have meanings, and it's something that's, I guess you could say, standardized. But more than that, it's about creating your own relationship with it, because we all have our own feelings, our own experiences to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
So what I started to do is I would just pull one card every day and look at the image, because I'm very visual in that way. And
mm-hmm.
what did that make me feel? And then also, you know, there's little guidebooks and things like that. And, you know, there's four suits, and then there's major arcana, which is, to me, you know, what the universe puts in front of us. And then we decide what we do with that information. Nothing is set in stone. It's just showing a snapshot in time. So you can change it if you don't like it. And if it's something you're like, hey, I'm actually doing pretty good, then you keep doing that. And it's all our own, you know, our own interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be brutal at times, because you'll see cards, you're like, oh my gosh, that's where I am right now. I don't want to be. So, gosh, it was, you know, so, you know, 20 years ago that I got my first deck. And, but I was always drawn to cards. My grandmother used to play solitaire as a young girl, so there's something about it, so I was always kind of drawn to it. And again, like anyone who's interested in tarot, you know, it's just get a plain deck, whatever speaks to you image wise, and just pull one card every day of like, okay, where am I at? And sit with that and use it as a self-discovery tool. You know, if you want to get through any roadblocks in your life, okay, what's blocking me? And you pull that card and you sit with that and you look at that part of you. You do not go, oh, but my family, oh, my partner, oh, it's all within us.
You take accountability.
Super accountability, super responsibility, because it's not about blaming. It's about, okay, what was my part in everything? And that's hard to say. I mean, the fact that my voice is choking. Most people have a really hard time of, okay, let me hold that mirror up to myself. How have I created this? By either my thoughts or my feelings, by my actions or by my inaction. So it, you know, it's not easy, but when you're ready for it, it's a beautiful tool to just help you get out of your own way and do what it is that comes naturally to you without fighting yourself.
Yeah. And the last question before we actually get into it is, I'm smiling so big because as you talk, every time we talk, I'm like, this woman's great. Because one of the reasons we connected, and I shared this on a couple episodes ago, was my obsessions with cards and blackjack metaphor and gambling metaphor. And it's not like I go and gamble, but it's just, it fascinates me. And I told you that when we met. And I'm kind of curious to know, like, why you think the creation of games are so powerful and how it's either been connected to like world religions, astrology, spirituality over time, and what it does for us now in this generation and this universe.
Oh gosh, that's a big one. Games. You know, it just makes me think about life as being fun. We are here to enjoy life.
That's beautiful.
And things are going to happen. It's not easy, but it's how we view it and where we take what's given to us. So I'm always like, you know,
the card that's given to us, the deck that's given to us.
Exactly. Make it a game. You know, it's an adventure. It's something that you get to experience. You know, if we're here on vacation, is it going to be a vacation that we hate, where everything goes wrong and that's all we focus on? Or is it like, oh yeah, remember when that happened and then that happened and we ended up in this random place and we met these people and it was so fun? It's what we make of it.
Yeah.
So
the magic.
The magic of making everything like a game. And we can create it as we go.
So one of the things, listeners, that Allison told me to do to prepare for this episode is some sort of word or theme that she can figure out what the reading will actually be. So it's, yes, it's going to be a little bit about me, but mostly also for the Sparkle community and what I believe the mission of Sparkle to be, to help this movement. And you know, I was like, okay, that's easy, I'll do that. Of course, I take a whole weekend to think about it. I go to the golf course, I hit a couple golf balls to try to figure out, what are we gonna do tomorrow? And one of the things that's you know, running is a big important part of how I developed what I'm doing here. And an old coach, he loved the song Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, and it's been one of my favorite songs since I was a teenager. And I was listening to lyrics, and you know, if you don't know the song, you need to go listen to it. And that's first of all, that's the main point. Second of all, I just felt like when I was driving around this weekend, the weather was nice, I felt like just movement and rhythm to this song. And no matter what the lesson of the song is, no matter what, just keep going. And I spoke with Allison a couple times before this episode, and I kept getting the Wheel of Fortune card. So can you tell listeners what the Wheel of Fortune card means?
Okay, so let me go back to the song.
Okay.
So I love to use a car metaphor for our life.
Yes.
Right? So questions to think about. Are you driving your car?
Mm.
Is someone else driving your car?
Interesting.
Are you in the passenger seat? Are you in the back seat? How does your car look? Is it clean? Is it messy? Can you even find it?
I've lost my car at the Grove before.
The direction of driving, right? Are you going forwards? Are you going backwards?
Yeah.
How fast are you driving? Are you able to enjoy the scenery? Or are you going so fast that you don't even know what you're going by?
Mm.
It's a beautiful way to look at our life. And you can tell a lot about people by how they drive.
I'm laughing for almost the same reasons.
Like how someone is in bed can be looked at by how someone drives. There's so many ways to look at it, but it's true. It's about that forward movement, and that's part of the Wheel of Fortune is that life turns.
Mm-hmm.
When you're up, you can soon be down. And if you think of it as a wheel that turns,
mm-hmm.
it's like a, you know, car wheel.
Yeah.
Traditionally in tarot, the chariot is more about, you know, a really forward, direct direction. But the Wheel of Fortune is, you know, life. Mm-hmm. What are we what are we making of it? And in Buddhism, they have this wheel of life, and you know, we fit into different sections of it in different incarnations, and some are harder than others, and we just take it and see where life takes us.
Yeah, and I felt like it's so funny because we didn't actually fully talk about this before it. So when you said you think of life as a car and, you know, I'm listening to a song. I mean, we were on the same wavelength. It was great. And I do think when I think of cycles, it's about
mm-hmm.
the cycle of the day, the cycle of the season, the cycle of life. And one way to kind of just think of that in a micro sense is a sunrise and a sunset. So yes, I want to take this moment and this reading to focus on that. Because no matter what, your light doesn't dim. It might feel like it's gone down a little bit, but you can ignite it again. And Allison and I are doing a special workshop on August 6th, where we're doing a blend of tarot and creative writing to help people figure that out. So yeah, let's get started.
Yay.
But this was so beautiful. And right. She brought her incense that she's created here. So the mood is right here, guys. The mood is right.
Thank you. Yes, I have a beautiful artist in Mexico who I spent some time in his atelier and created, you know, three different incense blends that are, I'll share more of that one day. It's such a beautiful process.
Mm-hmm.
So sensual.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds us, you know, to slow down, you know, touch things with our hands.
Yeah.
And remember that we're here to experience, not just get through everything and okay, I'm done. It's like, no, there's so, you know, so much to enjoy. So okay. So I love the theme of appreciating light and shadow because we all have it inside of us and we all need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything was all white, we'd be blinded. If everything was all dark, we wouldn't be able to see anything. It's the merging of the two that creates shadow, that creates form in our life. So it's those heavier or darker experiences compared to those bright experiences that give us this full life. So I really, really love, you know, to talk about, you know, what our dark side is and making that our best friend so that we can see it when it's coming our way and appreciating that part of us because it is part of us. And also, you know, dispelling that notion that it's only about being love and light, because that is not life. There is also death and dark, and we need both. So it's so wonderful for me to meet people and say thank you for sharing not only your light but also your dark with me, because that's what makes us alive. That's what makes us humans and can experience things. Makes it interesting, you know, because if everyone's life was just, you know, walking on air, you'd be bored. You know, you need the challenges to know how strong you are.
Yeah.
And we all are. And it's that's what makes us able to, you know, understand each other. It's like, hey, I've done some things. Yeah, you've done some things. And it's okay.
Yeah.
So it's that self-acceptance that comes in, you know, like, hey, my little gift that I've been hiding, it's important. We don't need to hide ourselves. When it's the right people that understand us, it creates some, you know, some beautiful connection.
And when we accept ourselves, we can accept others.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can't accept others, we're lonely.
Yeah. And yeah. Those, you know, we live in a world where there's so much, you know, judgment, either of ourselves or of others. It's like, wait a minute, actually, we are all the same. You know, our circumstances might be different on the outside, but inside, we have felt all the feelings. So the sooner we realize that, it's like, hey, you know, they're not any different than I am.
Yeah.
So I will say with tarot, I believe I mentioned it, but you can create your own interpretations. It's not set in stone. So certain images bring out certain intuitions within me, which may be different from what the book says. So there's no wrong or right. It's really just feeling how you feel. So, you know, starting out, I love this. This is the Seven of Cups. This is about choices. How do things make us feel? If, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in front of us, what will we choose? And also knowing that there's no wrong answer because it's an experience. It's like, okay, yeah, I dated that one person and I learned that, you know, or I did that job and I ended up moving to that place. It's the experience of life. And there's that saying, over analysis paralysis, where we have all these options, but we hold back because we don't know what to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, just pick anything. And if you don't like it, you can change your mind.
Exactly.
You're never stuck unless you make yourself stuck. So the next card out is the Hanged Man.
I've never even seen that one before.
Which talks about changing perspective. You know, how do you view your dark? Do you hate it? Because if you hate your shadow, if you hate your dark, you cannot appreciate the life you have now because you live in regret. And it's like all of those experiences, no matter how hard they were at the time, they've brought you to this point in your life that's so beautiful. So if you didn't have those experiences, you wouldn't be here. So it's like, wait a minute. Actually, it was a good thing I went through all those hard things. It was a good thing I ended up in the hospital. It was a great thing.
Yeah.
And that's the guide with the Six of Swords. It's allowing you know, what our belief system is, whatever that is. If you believe in God, if you believe in past lives, whatever, if you just believe in yourself, great. Whatever it is that you hold true, let them guide you, because that will lead you to where you want to be, whether it's the people that you surround yourself, the kind of relationship that you're in, the type of work that you do. If it's something that really speaks to your heart and your soul and your own sensibilities, then it's right for you. Who cares what other people think? Because you're the one who has to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing, because we want to, they have this and that, but their life, but you don't know what someone has gone through to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And would you be willing to do all of that?
Right.
So it's like to each their own. And with the Ace of Pentacles, this is the opportunity. It's another wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to create in this physical reality what we want. And it doesn't have to be anything complicated or even grand. It's just about living and seizing opportunities as they come, and turning off all of the voices either around us or in our own head telling us, no, you can't do that because X, Y, Z. And saying, well, actually, hey, I don't know. Let me try it. Let me see how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, hey, I love this. Or actually, no, I changed my mind. And that's the beauty in it. We're never stuck. And then, you know, Eight of Pentacles here, this is about doing the work day in and day out. It is a practice. It is a constant realignment of, okay, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do I want to show up as every day? You know, yeah, if I'm having a bad day, you know, maybe I need to pull back and refill my own cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go work out, you know, go take a shower, go take yourself out to a nice meal, get out of town. I travel all the time to get out of this, you know, crazy energy sometimes, just to have some peace.
LA is crazy? No, I'm
no, right? Easy. I mean, if you can handle it here, you're good, right? So it's just, we have to find our, you know, our own touchstones to reconnect with ourselves. And oftentimes that's through our art, our own creative expression, whatever that might be. So it's like we all know what it is that does it for us. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's saying to do. You know, take those risks, say yes to different options. And if you don't like it, you can leave or you can change it. Either your own perception of it, you know, with the Hanged One, how we view things, we can turn that upside down and like, oh, wait, ask people questions. If they say something and you're like, whoa, where's that coming from? Hey, why do you believe that?
Mm.
And when you hear, oh, that's where that comes from, then this judgment moves away and there's like, oh, wow, some people do things like that because that's in their culture or that's in their belief system. And it has nothing to do with me. It's personal. So it's a really beautiful reading that, you know, that it shows that we're all in control of our own destiny. And, you know, with the Wheel of Fortune, as you're bringing it up, it's like, in my view, fate is what happens in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bullet points of things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny is what we do with it.
Mm.
Do we allow it to hold us back? Do we allow it to propel us forward? You know, with this Five of Pentacles, this is talking about pain. This is talking about all those situations that we felt let down, you know, being impoverished in some way, whether it's energetically, financially, emotionally, all those things where we just feel bad about, but that's what the beauty of life is this strength that comes from that.
Which one is this?
This is the strength card.
Okay.
And it can even be about holding back certain negative tendencies of and saying, hey, I'm gonna not allow that to, you know, overpower me. I'm the boss of this energy. I'm the boss of my own shadow. So, you know, and it's standing in our truth with the Ace of Swords, just to really allow ourselves to express ourselves freely, you know, in a respectful way, you know, in a way where, you know, we're not bulldozing over people, but it's like, hey, this is who I am, and these are my beliefs, and it comes from this place. And it's creating that, you know, that understanding. And what's wonderful is that's when we attract in people who are similar to us or even different, but they allow us to be ourselves. And that's what's cool. We don't all have to be the same. It's just like, hey, I see why you do what you do. This is why I do what I do. And we're friends. And sometimes it's like, oh, hey, let me go talk to this friend because I need a little bit of their power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I'm super introvert, I love to be around friends that are more extroverted because I feel that mm-hmm. energy rubbing off on me of like, wow, she can do it. So wait, I can too. So it's not, you know, it's not difficult, but yet it is. And it's about being brave and allowing ourselves to do that and connecting in with those, you know, that are on a similar path as us. And, you know, that's the Chariot. That's the Four of Wands. It's about enjoying our life with people who are also enjoying their own.
It's about community.
About community. And it happens suddenly. As soon as you flip that switch in your mind, you'll see how your life gets better because you're not holding yourself back anymore.
I like what you said about fate versus destiny. So do you believe in destiny?
I do. I mean, if you want. I mean, because sometimes things happen to us and we have that point to transcend it and say, you know what, I want to do something with this knowledge that I have. We can choose not to, but then we're, you know, we just kind of are coasting through our life. You know, to live in one's destiny, it takes courage. It takes that, you know what, I'm going to do this regardless of what that voice in my head says or what my family's judgments are. I'm going to do it anyway. Mm. And we have that choice. And if we don't do it in this life, we have other opportunities. So it's based on what we want to experience.
See, what I like about the way that you describe destiny to be, though, is about choice. Where I think sometimes, whether it's Hollywood or romance books, they're describing it more as something that just happens by luck.
No, it's all these little things that lead us to these points mm-hmm. that are pivotal. It's all these choices that we've made along the road
mm-hmm.
for good or ill. And then we're okay. Now we're going to, and you know, this is a tower. This is a sudden change of our reality of like, okay, this is going to rock and it's going to feel unstable. And we don't like how that feels. I mean, we had an earthquake.
Wait, where have I been?
Earlier, which I didn't know about either.
Wait, today?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
And it's, yeah, it's like...
Today is, what's the date today? July 29th?
29th? I'm not sure.
Wait, yeah. But what? When? What time? Where? Who? How?
1 p.m.
1 p.m.
I think the epicenter was what, Barstow?
Barstow.
So it's like, there will be things that rock us.
It was across the street.
Right, but do we feel it?
No, I felt great.
Right.
I put on sparkles.
But, you know, someone in Barstow felt it, or they felt okay. It, you know, harder than us. But it's like, that's what these situations in life
do. Some people, it doesn't faze them. Others, it's like, oh my gosh, that rocked my world. So that's the cool part about living, is we just don't know.
Yeah, I really did not know that we went through an earthquake.
So yeah, that's a little snippet into, you know, what I do. And it
was beautiful, Allison. It was really, really thank beautiful.
Thank you for sharing your energy with me.
It was so insightful. Like, I just, and that's what I love about it, is it's a guide. It's a tool. It works for you. Maybe it doesn't work for you. But like, what I've started doing ever since I've met Allison is just drawing one, reading about it, and going about my day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like how you contextualized it. And I like that it's something that can be used to just inform. And if it doesn't resonate with you, it doesn't resonate with you. Mm-hmm. And if it does, and if it empowers you, that's amazing.
Yeah,
so thank you for sharing with us.
It's a tool. And yeah. if it fits in your toolbox, great. And if it doesn't, that's great too.
Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much. And listeners, I'll be sharing Allison's work in the show notes. But seriously, like, Allison's story and her energy is so positive. I'm lucky enough to share space with her on August 6th at Noia House in Hollywood. We're going to have an Ignite Your Sparkle workshop. She's going to do another reading, and I'm going to take you through my first creative writing workshop, because I think writing and words are very powerful. So definitely going to share more about that on social media. I hope for all of you in LA that can be there, great. We'll also stream it. But Allison, thank you so much. This was amazing. Sparkle on.
Thank you for having me.